Well, look at that. Look who is back. Dylan, Taylor, y'all tried to take over the show, but I'm back to claim what is rightfully mine. And I guess y'all are just too scared to be part of it tonight because I don't see y'all here, I don't think. Let's get this thing started. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. How's it going, Orange County Soccer Club fans? How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora. I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. And helping me out for this episode, I don't know, he was helping out Dylan and Taylor last week, I think, but that's Mr. Brad. But welcome back to the good side.
I feel happy to be welcome back to the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. No offense to my friends from last week, but I was merely just a guest on the Dylan and Taylor show, and it's nice to be back on the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
It's always nice to have you back. I'm glad I'm back here. For those that you don't know, I was out of town last week, thus the reason why I wasn't on the episode. It wasn't that Dylan and Taylor took over the show. I just was on vacation with the fam. And guess where I was? If y'all don't know this background, I was in Memphis last, not this past weekend, but the weekend before. Unfortunately, I was in Nashville when Orange County took on Memphis. But Memphis came away victorious, the full 3 points on the road. Let's get into that right away. Let's talk about that match here. We have an action-packed show, by the way. That's why we're doing this. Orange County made the trip out to Memphis. Not an easy trip to make for a West Coast team. But they got there, a day game, some nice weather, the pitch not so great, but Orange County was able to come away with 3 points off of 2 goals. They conceded 0, a shutout for Shuttler, but probably we're still not seeing the best of Orange County yet this season, right, Brad?
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. Orange County gets, I believe it was 2 shots on goal within 2 minutes, and, you know, make it count, Orange County wins a 2-0 game, but other than, you know, our final third defending and the magic of having Mr. Kyle Scott back, Orange County is still struggling in that final third and still is requiring some magic to score continuously 2 goals a game.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that's awesome with this so far is, and I know there's a few teams that are saying this, that we're not seeing the best yet out of the teams, but the fact that Orange County has gone into some really tough situations, you know, going to Sacramento that first match of the season, going to Memphis, although Memphis is still struggling to find themselves as well. Again, not an easy travel, not a good pitch at all, even though our friend last week from the 901 Soccer Podcast, Lawrence, he said that the pitch should be good for the match. Unfortunately, I guess that prediction was wrong, but they were still able to figure it out. And I think the good thing is you got that first goal from Orange County, and then somehow, some way, they caught Memphis sleeping. I was listening to Lawrence's recap of the match from the Memphis side of thing, and it was sort of like Memphis didn't realize or didn't know that you're going to restart play after a goal is scored. I don't know. What were your thoughts on 2 such quick goals, Brad? First from Brian Olosky, second from Thomas Hmong. What were your thoughts on that, and how did that take any momentum away from Memphis?
Yeah, I mean, Orange County kind of against the flow of play in the second half at the beginning of it. We talk about how 2-0 is kind of the hardest lead to keep in sports, and even though Memphis didn't have a 2-0 lead at the time, this kind of shows why. Orange County was working the long ball, was working on breaking down the final third, just – it wasn't happening through the midfield, so you have to stretch the field a little. And to be fair, like I said, 2-0 is not a safe lead, and you can see why. Scoring 2 goals so rapidly is kind of how Orange County put this game to bed. I think if we only score 1 there, Memphis stays in the game. They probably find an equalizer, and we're looking at either a 1-1 or 2-1 either way. But 2-0 so quickly is a very demoralizing way at looking at the game. And you know, you brought up the field conditions. I thought this was better than last year's, which is kind of hard to argue. Last year's was pretty bad. But it kind of looked like they were playing in a sandbox.
Yeah, I noticed that a few times, especially when you get the close-up images. There's some sand popping up. I know, at least as close to the match as on Tuesday before this match, the Redbirds, which is the baseball team that plays in the stadium, had a game at this stadium. I was there actually walking around. I almost convinced the family, let's go check out a minor league baseball game in Memphis, but we decided against that. And I don't know, maybe there was some other games on Wednesday or Thursday. So obviously that's going to contribute to some poor field conditions. You know, I agree with you, Brad. If it stays 1-0, if we don't get that quick second goal from Thomas Among, it might be a totally different match. Memphis, let's be honest. Memphis had some really good opportunities to get some goals in the back of the net. They either just shot right at Shuttler or they missed the target just slightly, but let's not say that Orange County had this amazing match. It was what you want on the road, get the 3 points, steal it, not playing your best soccer. Luckily, I believe Brian was okay after his goal because he sort of ran into that goalpost, which anyone that's ever done that in soccer knows that's decently painful. You can watch that on the replay. It's like knee to post. So I'm sure he was sore on the flight home from Memphis. But props to Orange County for figuring out a way to get this victory. I think one of the key reasons, and we've talked about this most of the season, of a player that's been missing from that midfield that solidifies it and sort of makes you feel a little bit more comfortable in these situations is Mr. Kyle Scott. He was voted the man of the match after the match. He was a key contributor to this team, solidifying it. And obviously we see it. It makes everyone in the midfield look better. It makes Kevin Partita look better. It makes Sofiane Jafal look better. He's just a great solidifying piece for that midfield. Right, Brad?
Yeah, it's wonderful having Kyle Scott back. He's shown why he's so trusted on this team. He's box to box. He is winning the ball. I pulled up Brad, didn't I?
No, you're good. You're good. You're on.
Oh, okay. So he pulled a box to box defending, attacking. Probably the best midfield distributor we have on Orange County. And seeing him, Sophie and Jafal playing together in this game reminded me a little bit of the Eric Calvillo and Tommy McCabe days back in the championship winning season in 2021. It's trusty. It's easy to watch. It's really good for Orange County to have Kyle Scott back to see defending like that. Him, Kevin Partita, Sophie and Jafal. I think this is the three that I would want to see Orange County moving with throughout the year, with Seth Kisipley continuing to come off the bench.
I think this is just the beginning of something special with those three in midfield. I think we're in for a really fun season with this. I got to give one more shout out to a player, and that's Ashish Chadha. Again, having to play out of position, playing in defense, looked a little bit more comfortable in defense this match as opposed to the last time he was there. What are your thoughts on that? I obviously, this is just we're filling in for some injuries, and this is probably not the plan. Maybe it is. Who knows? But I feel like he's at least holding his own in that position. Right, Brad?
Yeah, Ashish Chadha is definitely holding his own in that position. I mean, I can't wait to ask him later this episode kind of how it's happened, how it's kind of matriculated. Is this a place he wants to play the rest of the season? Because he's kind of killing it right now. He's showing that he's a trusted, I believe, left back, a wing back. He's a trusted wing back who brings midfield defensive experience and really is kind of holding his own. He's made some big defensive stops as well this season.
So Orange County leaves Memphis with 3 points. It's not going to get much easier from that point, though, because now they're going to have to face a tough San Antonio team in San Antonio. And hey, we've got a voice here to help us get ready for this match. It's a friend of the show, Mr. Harry from the SAFC Fancast. Harry, as always, welcome back to our show.
I appreciate it. You mentioned this is a show about champions, which we both are champions. So glad to be on the show.
Yeah, I have no problem with representing or acknowledging San Antonio is a champion in this league as well. Let's talk about this really quick. give me your sort of impressions early on. This is what, a month into the season now. How has San Antonio looked? I'm sure you heard us talking about Orange County hasn't quite hit their stride yet. How's San Antonio doing? Have they gotten to that point quicker, or are they still looking for?
No, I would say we're actually probably a little bit behind you guys. San Antonio, like under Marcin, has been very direct. They actually passed the ball this year. They hold possession, which they haven't normally done. So, you know, it'll be very interesting. Prior to this game against Vegas, which they lost 1-0, probably the worst performance on the road in an improved Vegas team for that here. And kudos to, you know, to the Lights for upgrading the facilities. It looked like a proper stadium for that here. So kudos to Jose Bautista and them, but they took it to San Antonio. We had some chances we couldn't convert. I know you guys mentioned that Memphis had some chances, didn't convert. San Antonio, despite having six goals, or what game are we on? We've scored two goals prior to last game, so 8 goals, and we were averaging 2 goals a game until this last one here. So it'll be interesting. This is our third or fourth game at home. They drew the first one against Monterey Bay. So matchups against OC is always interesting. Last year I enjoyed it. It was a 4-0 win in San Antonio. So hopefully we can continue that. But as you and I both know, this series tends to go back and forth in some blowouts, but a lot of close games, between the two teams.
Yeah, that's a good call out there. Is these two teams tend to have some pretty good matches, especially in recent seasons. Obviously, there was, I think, a blowout last season, but then Orange County answered back at home. So it could be tough on the road, though. Are you basically saying then that maybe Orange County is the scheduling's working out for them? They're getting San Antonio on the road at a good time, being that San Antonio hasn't quite figured it out yet.
Yeah, San Antonio's just. Out of the championship team, I think there's 3 players left. They lost a lot of talent this offseason. For that here, Jordan Farr, Tanny, who went back to Minnesota's and playing for, in MLS. But the talent that they have is good. They went a little bit more international, non-USL-ish. This time here, so when you look at the names, they're probably like, hey, I don't recognize a lot of the names. There's a few of them you do, but I think for San Antonio, it's if you're going to catch San Antonio, now is the time to do it. Just because I think once it does start to click and Marcina does get the system implemented, I think that they will, be a top 4 team. I think the West is just so loaded this year. There are a few surprises. I think we all expected a little bit better out of some teams that have got off to a slow start. But if you look at the standings, there's not a lot of gap between 1 through 8 again.
Yeah, it's there's going to be some tough competition, and we all like to. I know we're all fellow Western Conference people here, so we all like to say West is always pretty tough. I think because all the teams battle each other, even at the bottom, and. One of those teams that's typically at the bottom is Vegas, and they're looking like a legit team this year, which is going to be scary as well.
First time they've won 3 in a row, and I think in a long, long time, honestly.
Now, I'm going to go to this reference here because Brad was actually watching some WrestleMania or some wrestling before the match. It seems like this match, San Antonio versus Orange County, it's going to be like, what is it, the irresistible force against the immovable object, because Shuttler's been really good in goal this season. He's just coming off a shutout here against Memphis. San Antonio seems to be scoring goals at home matches. So something's going to have to give there. Is if you're a betting man, Harry, are you putting your money on Shuttler and keeping his shutouts going? Or are you putting the money on San Antonio getting goals? Okay.
Just like I know you're putting your money on here, I'm putting my money on here. Especially if it was in Orange County, it would be a little bit different. But okay. I do think here in San Antonio, the crowd, it's a fun environment, I've heard from players. for that, because the crowd is right on top of you. It's a vocal crowd. It's an energetic crowd. And I think to me, like I said here, it's for Orange County. Do they have the talent to come into San Antonio? Yes. And if, you know, if they get an early lead, I think, you know, that is key. But I think if San Antonio can get a lead here, I think, you know, for San Antonio, that's going to be important, especially after being shut out the last match. Defense for San Antonio is still strong. Could it be like a 1-1 or a 0-0 draw? I think that's probably very feasible. I don't expect a lot of goals scored between these two teams because they do play tough defense. I've watched a couple of Orange County games. As always, very, very, very good. You know, are we sure the – was it the – just so I don't get his name wrong. Who is the goal scorer? Brian Alusky. Are we sure he's not? Was it Milan Alusky that went over to Europe here? Because my son AJ is like, didn't they transfer him? Because they look very similar to, you know, for that here. So I was like, he's there. Yeah. So that's who I worry about. And then you guys got Thomas Among as well up top. That you guys have firepower. You know,
well, and let's not forget we have Ethan Zubak who has not hit stride yet. He hasn't quite figured it out with his team. Cameron Dunbar has looked good at parts, but he hasn't really hit his stride yet. It's a really potent attack once Orange County figures this out. And maybe with Brian Alusky, what y'all are seeing and maybe what's shocking the league a little bit because he's scoring goals, is he typically isn't coming into a season fully healthy. And I think we talked to him preseason, and he basically said he's coming in feeling the best as he's ever felt coming into a season. And we're seeing that from him in these early performances, which is awesome to see that out of someone like Brian Alusky.
And you've seen flashes from him in the past.
Yes.
He's a quality player. So
I think the key thing from him is just the health, and he's never come into a season fully healthy and fully ready to contribute. This season, we're seeing that. Now, again, that's why when we were looking at those Memphis highlights, I'm like, hopefully the knee thing when he banged the knee into the post isn't something that lingers a little bit. Well, he didn't get subbed
out, so he still played.
But you know it's sore. I mean, obviously, yeah. You know that knee is sore on that flight home and probably the next day as well. Brad, I'm going to hand it off to you. Do you have any questions or anything to say to Harry?
Yeah, of course I do. Well, first of all, Harry, welcome back. It's always nice having you on the show. I guess for me, the first thing I have to ask is, obviously, we know the back three for San Antonio, since they do play, I believe, a 3-4-3. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Tainter, Hanley, and
Burks,
yeah. So we know all three. Those three have been in the league for quite a while.
We know Kevon came in from Chicago Fire, so
he's been around. However, I'm looking at your roster, and there's a ton of blanks in that midfield. Can you just kind of fill us in on a couple of those players? Who's been a kind of a shooting star, or kind of shown us some flashes of brilliance so far this season?
Well, you know Kevon Lambert from his time in Phoenix, and he's on loan from Salt Lake. Luke Hackinson came down from signed from MLS Nashville. He plays out on the right wing. And then on the other side is Lucas Silva, that's got two goals for that here. Burra, the other spot kind of next to Lambert's, kind of, you know, used to be Muhammad Abu, but he retired. And then Muhammad Omar fills it. I think Burra will be the one that'll hopefully take the reins. But to me, Silva and Hawkinson are the speed and the attacking side there. You know, I've been really impressed with Lucas Silva. Two goals. We thought he was going to have a shoulder injury because he got subbed out due to a shoulder, but, you know, he played the last game. So through there, big, tall, physical. And then Jorge Hernandez, I know you guys probably know him from his Los Dos years, going back at that time frame. So to me, he's the key to San Antonio. You know, if you remember a couple of years ago, they kind of ran through Pirano. They're doing that with Hernandez. And then up top, you got Aguadelo and Nabongu, or, you know, I'm not sure. The forwards, I think, to me, are still kind of the missing point for San Antonio as far as, you know, in my position, that's still kind of, you know, Coach Marcina's tinkering with, but to me, you know, Lambert, obviously well-known, but Burris, Silva are the two international players that came from out, you know, from Europe and Africa that to me have done well, but they're still growing and learning the USL ways. And Lacey, yeah, Lacey's interesting. He's coming off as a super sub, which I kind of like that, but he's got that that kind of bulldog or pit bull mentality where, you know, he's just a go, physical forward here. So to me, the forwards are unsettled. You know, like I said here, we've had kind of discussions on what the best combination is. And I don't know if we've seen that yet. And, you know, maybe we'll see it this match. Maybe we won't. But that's the part that concerns me. But unlike previous years, San Antonio has been very consistent in the lineups, with the exception of the Burris spot. You know, pretty much everybody else has started most games for that, you know, as far as except for the forward slots up top. But the midfield and the back three, and with Pablo Sisnega in the back, he's been solid, plays really well with his feet. I think he had a goal last week that I think, you know, he'd probably say he'd want to have back, the one that he gave up to Vegas. But you're going to have those throughout the season. And, you know, obviously a lot of pressure on Pablo to step up and fill in the spot that Farr had.
Or Farr left. All right, I got one more question. So you did mention that San Antonio has kind of struggled a bit to score goals or to up top with the forwards, and that's kind of still the missing question. But looking back on your guys' season, you guys have scored 2 goals in every game with the exception of that aforementioned Vegas match. Are these goals, are these kind of fluke goals? Kind of, I don't want to say Orange County has been scoring 2 goals.
But they're, you know, like Manly's got 2. Silva's got 2. Burra got 1 in Tampa. You know, he subbed on. And then I think, you know, the forwards do have 2. But I think over half of our goals have came from defense or the midfield or back. And that's what I'm talking about as far as for, you know, we've got 8 goals scored. But Manly's got 2 and Silva's got 2. Silva, you could kind of expect it. But, you know, as far as, a center back, you know, for Manly. And he's got key goals, you know. For that, don't get me wrong. You know, he had a scissor bike, I guess you could call it. And then, you know, the goal in Tampa that you know, SAFC was able to get the draw at the last minute. So he scored some key goals. But to me, the attack for me is missing that forward presence, to put the games away. But like I said here, I'll take it. You know, it's, I think both of us would agree, the first 10 games are kind of, you know, seeing what you have, kind of, you know, I call it growing pains for that here, because you're not going to win the league. But, you know, if you're like El Paso or Colorado, you could definitely hurt yourself on you know, digging yourself too deep of a hole. So.
All right. So I guess then, how does San Antonio win if it's not through scoring goals in the offense? What's a San Antonio footpath for a win over Orange County look like?
Well, I think they're going to have to score goals because Orange County, you know, like I said here, is a solid team. I don't think we've had any 0-0 draws. I think the draws have been, you got to go back to 2019 for 0-0 draws. But there's been goals scored. The last one in Orange County was a 1-0, 4-0, 2-2, 1-0 right here. So there'll be goals. You know, like I said here, obviously referees play a part in this for right here, just because both teams can play a little bit physical at times. I would expect, you know, for San Antonio, they're going to try to control the possession. They're going to, you know, try to attack, you know, through the sides or see if Jose can, Jorge Hernandez, you know, can do some creativity. And then San Antonio is a tall team. They're a physical team. So set pieces, especially corners or, you know, free kicks along those lines are one that, that I think, you know, that Orange County will have to look out for.
Let me talk to you really quick. I'll get away from this upcoming match really, Harry, because I want to just find out the thoughts from fans in San Antonio. I'm sure you've discussed this on your show, but I think it was sort of a, I don't know if it was for y'all, but a surprise transfer this offseason. We see a lot of players that go to Europe from USL, mm-hmm. but we don't typically see people go to Southeast Asia from USL, especially at the prime of their career. What can you tell us about that transfer? Did you hear anything? Have you, like, how this all came about, or do you know anything about this? It seemed quite weird to see Santiago Patino go to, what is it, Ho Chi Minh City FC?
Yeah, in Vietnam. So, yeah, it's... So, that's kind of an interesting story, because in the preseason, San Antonio played Guatemala FC. Had an international friendly for one of their matches, and he played in it. He looked good. Like, if he was in the starting lineup, I don't think we're having these same struggles. But right before the season kicked off, we got the two striker loans from MLS, and we're like, oh, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, Patino wasn't around. From my understanding, Patino wanted to travel, wanted to go abroad. He's making some from what reports that we were able to find, he's making similar money to what he was making here, but obviously the cost of living over in Vietnam compared to here, the money goes a lot more further. And then San Antonio got some money or some money in return. We haven't been able to figure out what that is as of yet. But like I said here, and he's already scored over there in Vietnam, so it's one of those kind of odd transfers, not the oddest that we've had in San Antonio, but it is one of those odd transfers. And the timing wise we thought maybe it was maybe a locker room issue, because Fabian Garcia left, Farr left, you could kind of tell there was a little bit of locker division when it came from that. But, from all reports, in sources that we've heard, it wasn't that. It was just he got an opportunity. Him and his agent, they talked with SAFC. All parties agreed, and they moved him and got some cash, in return. And, as we know, you guys do a lot of the transfers, especially for young ones, young players. So that's key on being able to kind of help with the increased budgets that championship level teams have now.
Just such an interesting transfer. You don't see players in their prime hoping to go to Vietnam to continue their career.
There's been a couple of them, though. There's been a couple MLS players that go over there.
But is it in their prime? A lot.
Huh?
Is it in their prime? That's the weird thing, right? Even like when you look at China, at the Chinese league, it's been players maybe a little past their prime, maybe one or two in their prime. But this is nowhere even at that level. This is Vietnam. It's not even a team that is competing annually for top bill in Asia.
They've gone to the AFC, the Asian Championship League level before, so they have participated in that.
Okay.
And that's why they're doing it, is they're trying to make that push to get back up to there. Now, whether they will or won't, who knows? But, like I said here, for Patino, it's an opportunity to get a different set of eyes on him, because he's been, with MLS and then with San Antonio. So it's an opportunity to see about, maybe additional doors open over there. As we all know, this is a world game, and, hopefully he does a great job over there, and it can open up, doors that USL can't open up at this point. So,
no, totally get that. Let's do this. For timing issues or timing here, let's talk about the prediction for this upcoming match. Before we do so, though, I'm going to let Brad talk about our prediction game and sort of where the standings are. Correct me. Let me know, Brad. I believe I did good this past match, but yeah, you can let me know.
So I believe you did score 4 out of a possible 5 points. I know Harry is on here. He submitted 2 predictions so far this season. I mean, 2 out of 5 now is more than some people. However, we did have a leaderboard change. Nathan, who was priorly in first through 4 weeks, is no longer in first after scoring a goose egg. We have on the podcast team two members with a silver status next to their name. That would be Taylor and Andy, both scoring well this past week. Kayvon steps into the Nathan's shoes, however, solidly in first place with 17 points out of a possible 25. And three members of the community, Michael, Freddie, and Jen, are at 15 so far this year.
Perfect. So let's do this. Let's get our predictions in. I'll let you go first, Brad, since you probably are prepared for it.
Yeah, I believe this game is going to be absolutely gritty, and we're probably bound to see a bunch of goals. I know Ray said unstoppable force meets movable or immovable object. I don't believe that's this game. I believe if you want to watch that this weekend, go watch Charleston versus Louisville, who has scored 14 goals while Charleston has allowed two.
I think we
should see this weekend. Orange County, I think, is still the better team so far this year. I'm going to say it's 2-1 Orange County.
Perfect. Kerry, what's your prediction for this match?
Well, I'm glad I'm not playing Lou City right now because they look absolutely scary. Give me a 2-1 San Antonio win.
2-1 San Antonio win. All right. All right. Hopefully, if we have any players listening, that's going to help motivate them for a stronger performance this weekend. My prediction for this match is I'm going to go 1-0 Orange County. Shutout Shuttler is going to get another shutout notch into his belt this weekend, and we'll get a goal. We'll come away with 3 points once again to remain top of the table in the West. I'm calling that right now, Harry. Harry, we're going to let you head out, but before we do so, share with our listeners. If they want to hear more from you or see more from you, where do they go?
Yeah, so obviously on Twitter, at Ram and Call, and then, of course, for the show, SAFC Fancast. We typically do it every Sunday night, although we had Easter, and then this week I had family arrangement. Royce had family arrangement as well, so we didn't quite get to it. We may see if we can make one up during the week here, but typically Sunday evenings around 6 o'clock your time, I guess it would be, for that here, depending on Royce's schedule. For that here, but always a pleasure to be on. Like I said here, I don't get on as often as I used to, just because it is late for me and I'm getting older and more grayer, as you can see, for that here. And but I always try to catch it and then obviously list it on the podcast side here. So it's always fun to engage with Andy and the rest of the crew here. I don't get to mess with Ray much anymore. I don't know why.
Because everyone loves Raymond. Harry, as always, thank you for taking some time to speak with us. We appreciate you. Have a great rest of your day. Just don't enjoy the weekend. Let's move ahead to our next guest that we're going to bring on. This next guest has been a contributor to the early success for Orange County Soccer Club, playing a little bit out of position in some of these matches too. This is, do I say midfielder, defender? We'll just say a little bit of everything, Mr. Ashish Shatta. Ashish, welcome back to our show.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, great to have you back. Let me ask you about this, because obviously you're not a natural defender when it comes to this sport, but you've been asked to come in and contribute due to possibly looks like some injury issues, or maybe just you've proven that you're now a defender. How has it been for you so far, the transition to having to play some defense? How are you feeling after getting a few matches under your belt with that?
I mean, the first game against Miami, I was – you know, caught under the bus. You know, coach just calls me. He thought, like, I need you as left back. I was like, never played the position, but, you know, I'm willing to give it all for the team, willing to be able to step in and just get my minutes. And, you know, I thought I did pretty well. And then, you know, just continuing to practice playing left back and just, you know, playing it in the game, I'm just getting more comfortable. And, you know, I have that midfielder instinct where, you know, you just keep the ball. I like having the ball. So I think I just bring a little more of that calmness in the back line. So, yeah, you know, playing left back, not my favorite position, but it's a position that I'm starting to like, you know, and I'm grateful to be able to, you know, get in the box a lot. I like getting up and down the line. So, you know, there's always a bonus on the other side of playing out of position.
Well, I was going to say a benefit of playing that position in Coach Morten Carlson's offense and attack is it's not really a traditional stay in the back, play defense type of position. He asks his wingbacks to get up the pitch and contribute to the attack, make those good crosses, get into some positions to set up players, and even potentially get in a position to score. How has that at least helped you with that transition and the fact that you're still involved quite a bit in the offense and in the attack?
Yeah, it helps a lot. You know, at the end of the day, I'm a midfielder always, so, you know, I always try to look to score or provide an assist for the team. So, you know, just having the ability to do that as a left back means a lot. You know, I felt like I've had pretty good opportunity at the left back to get, you know, assists or just get up on the pitch and, you know, try to get a goal here and there. And, you know, it just helps a lot. It just builds more confidence in myself. And I think it just brings another, like, aspect of the team, knowing that we have players that can play other positions.
Let me ask you this, because, again, you made the trip with the team. You contributed in the match there in Memphis. What were your thoughts of just Memphis in general, the city, the stadium, and your opponent? Just overall thoughts.
Yeah, it was very unique. You know, it was very – it's not – nothing's going to be Cali. That's all I can say. It's just nothing's going to be Cali. It was a tough environment for sure. You know, we played midday, played on a baseball field. There was a lot of – I don't know if you guys watched the game, but there was a lot of stoppages due to the field being, you know, not 100% ready. But you know, we went over there, did our job, and got the 3 points that we needed.
Do you as a team or individually, do you get opportunities to go, like, visit cities as you do these, or is it like you fly 100%. In, you hang out in the hotel, and you go home, or do you get to experience some of the
100%? After the games, if we, like, since our game was during the day, we had a bit of spare time to go walk around, tour the city a little bit. And there was a pretty nice nightlife. There was a lot of people out and about. We were literally in downtown, and then the Grizzlies Stadium was right there. So a lot of us went to the Memphis Grizzlies game against the Detroit Pistons. So that was cool. Yeah, it's not much to do there, but, you know, you make the most out of it.
And I heard a rumor. You can confirm. Were the Grizzlies having court issues, just like the soccer stadium was having turf issues? I thought I heard something.
There were.
Memphis thing. It must be a Memphis thing where they have field and court issues all over the place.
100%.
I'm going to hand it off to Brad because I've been hogging all the questions. Brad, do you have any questions for Ashish?
Welcome back to our show, first of all, Ashish. I guess my first question for you is, since we've seen you in this position, is this kind of a spot you want to continue exploring further on the season? I know obviously you'll do whatever it takes to be on the field, but how has this kind of experience been being a left back instead of being in that midfield?
It's definitely, I wouldn't say a super hard transition, because at the end of the day, you know, if you're a footballer and you have the IQ, you have everything, you have a good staff, you have good teammates, I think, and you're adaptable, I think playing this position is not too hard. I'm starting to enjoy it a lot more. I personally think I can say that it is a lot more running than the midfielder. I think in the terms of as a wingback, because that's what I would say we play, it's a lot of long distance running, whereas midfielder is just like short, chop, 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 you know. But yeah, I'm really liking it. You know, like you guys said, it's just, you know, anything to do to get minutes on the team. Of course, I think I thrive more as a midfielder. You know, I have the midfielder instincts because there's some stuff that I do in the back line, which, you know, I still and Coach Morton calls me out on it. Like, that's just a midfielder instinct in you, is like stepping up. And he's like, I mean, that's you. You're a midfielder, so I can't get mad at you for that. So it is. You just got to, like, identify when you can do the midfielder role as a left back and when you got to be a left back and truly contribute to being a defender. But, yeah, I'm liking it.
I was going to say, I appreciate the confidence from you, Ashish. It's awesome to hear a player confident in their skills. And I'll say, hey, you got some really solid defenders back there helping you out if you do get out of position, which is awesome to have.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
So one of the things that we've had when we've had him on the show in the past, we've had Shetler, and we talked to him about what his communication is like with his defense, with his back four. How has that kind of helped you step into this role? Is there anything that Shetler does that is unique to other goalies that you've played with?
I think it's for me, since I'm playing out of position, I think me and him communicate a lot more. So I think just that personal communication that we have, whether it's on a set piece, whether it's in a game, whether it's, you know, the ball is stopped, I think we communicate a lot. And I just always ask him for feedback, like, what do you need me to do? Or am I in a good position right now? Is there, I'll just look back and I just know that we make eye contact, and he'll tell me like little gestures, like move over or step up or do whatever. So I think, you know, just communicating with him, and everybody understands that I'm playing out of position, so they're a little bit more lenient. But when they, I tell them, like, just treat me as a left back, you know, if I'm messing up, if I'm doing something wrong, just tell me straight up and I'll fix it right away. So yeah, I think the communication is pretty on point with the back line, including Shuttler too.
Yeah. I just want to give you another quick shout out. We watch the games obviously live. Most of us here in the Orange and Black Soccercast. And as soon as this game was over, we were talking about who we wanted for guests. And you were the one name that was thrown out that everyone said, we need to hear more about this position, what he's doing with the team, because we truly recognize how difficult it is to swap from a position that moves a lot in the midfield to you're doing that long distance running. So we did have one request for you. A little selfishly at the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. We have a perfect record so far this season of players who have been on our show scoring goals. You think you can make that happen this weekend against San Antonio?
I hope so. That's all I could pray for. You know, it's I hope so. I'm still trying to give OC my first goal. You know, I've been close already. So I've been close as a midfielder against, I believe it was, who did we win against? 1-0. Not last Tulsa. Game, but the game. Tulsa, yeah, I was close. You know, got a couple good shots off. Left back, I'm getting there. You know, I'm creeping in the box, so I'm there at the back post. So just one good ball, maybe, and I'm there to tuck it in. So, you know, it's all in God's hand, but that's what I'm going for. I want that goal for OC.
All right, thanks, Ashish. I'll pass it back over to Ray.
Yeah, and the fun thing is, Ashish has been in here. We've asked him all the fun questions, right? We've asked him about vegetables. We've asked him about music. Last time we had you on the show, things weren't going so well for Orange County. We asked you to give us a prediction of, you know, two, three months down the road. What did you think? I'm going to ask you that exact same question here. Things are going better to the start of the season, but prediction, 2-3 months down the road, where do you see Orange County? Are we still top of the table?
Yeah, we're going to win it. We have to win it. We're starting off strong. You got to end stronger. So, you know, we're picking up momentum. The team is already building. You know, some pieces are missing, but you can see what you could do with the team that we have on the field. You know, people playing out of position, a lot of adaptable players, a lot of chemistry, a lot of, you know, like trust within the team. I think we could win it this year. You know, last year there was some injuries, including mine, where, you know, I wasn't able to participate in the important games where it was playoffs and stuff like that. But, you know, hopefully God keeps us all healthy and throughout the season, I think we could go really far.
And how big for you personally, having so many players return, how is that helping contribute to this early success that Orange County is seeing? And how does that make you feel as a player, knowing that the team's willing to invest in bringing back the key players like that? Because we don't see that often in this league, just so you know. It's not typical. I know this is only your second year, but it's not a typical thing to see so many players returning. How does that help contribute to it for you?
Like I said, you know, there's already that team chemistry. There's already that, like, brotherhood that we have. So, you know, the players coming back, we already know how everybody plays. You know, it's just easy. It's rhythm. You know, we got rhythm. We got chemistry. It's just, it makes everything a lot easier for us.
Perfect. And I just want to say, I want to call out, because we have our next guest is sort of chatting along in the comments here on YouTube. And I believe, you know, you were introduced to Orange County fans as trialist number one. I believe it was against, Hamburg. The team from Germany. I can't remember the team.
Yeah, Hamburg.
There we go, against Hamburg. And I remember the club saying, we don't want to let anyone know who this trialist number one is, because we want them. We don't want to leak who that may be. How does it feel to go from, you were introduced to the fans as trialist number one, and now you're officially a fan favorite on this team? How does that feel as a player?
It means the world to me, you know, just knowing that I have the support from you guys, and I'm just trying to give back to you guys too. So, you know, it just means the world. And I remember that game, like you guys said, you know, introduced as trialist number one, got like a verbal contract from Peter and Oliver right outside the parking lot. You know, I just didn't know what to do. So, you know, it's 10:30 at night. I called my parents. I was like, you guys got to wake up. I got great news. So just knowing that I got a contract right away just means a lot. And just knowing that I was get like granted the opportunity to play in front of you guys, you know, all the fans and family and friends just meant a lot to me. So, yeah, thank you guys for all the support.
Ah, we love to hear that. And that's part of the reason why people love supporting Orange County Soccer Club, because it truly is a local team, a player from UC Irvine finding his way to professional soccer. We love to hear that. Ashish, any last message to the fans that'll be watching either at a watch party at home or maybe, hey, someone planning on flying out to San Antonio and watching y'all? Any message for the fans heading into this match?
It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a good one. So make sure you guys don't miss it, because we're hot right now. We're going to keep going.
All right, everyone. This is defender, midfielder, whatever position you need. He'll play it for you, for your Orange County Soccer Club, Mr. Ashish Shada. Ashish, as always, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Thank you. You guys have a good one.
Awesome. Thank you, man. It's like ready to start tearing up hearing the stories of all that. Trialist number one, now a key contributor to a team looking for championship gold here in the season. Hey, we're just going to go. We're just moving guest to guest to guest. This one is the guest I think many people are waiting to hear from tonight. Well-known soccer personality, does awesome job in producing some cool little videos to watch, and did a great job for his first home match at Orange County Soccer Club. And a proud owner of this team as well, Mr. Eli Lesser. Eli, welcome to the show, man. We've been looking forward to this moment. Welcome.
I've been looking forward to coming onto this podcast ever since, you know, I became an owner. I was like, you know, going to my first match is one thing, but getting my first guest appearance on the Orange and Black Soccer Cast is a whole nother level of greatness that I need to achieve. So I'm glad that, you know, we're doing that, and it is definitely an honor to see you guys. It's an honor to see a lot of familiar faces in the chat. Shout out Edison, who showed me the stadium for the first time. But it's been all love with Orange County since, you know, I've been a part of it, and it's been really, really fun.
You know, awesome. Thank you for joining us. You know, so you started off focusing, I believe, on MLS more. You're an LA Galaxy fan. You know, I told myself before this episode, I wasn't even going to say that team name just because there's a little bit of hurt from LA Galaxy a couple years back, but
which you were LA Galaxy. I want to address that a little bit because I'd like to mention just how frustrated Galaxy fans were with what happened in that Orange County situation. And that was a big driving factor in what got LA Galaxy fans to protest the club. And we got the person trying to take over the champ out successfully. So, you know, any hate that you may have towards the Galaxy, keep that towards the front office, not necessarily the fans, because I think the fans played their part to try to help this situation, because we saw what was, you know, wrong in it, and we went for it. And that was actually part of the reason why, like, I started to kind of have a big soft spot for Orange County SC during that whole situation.
Nothing against the fans. I'm going to say that straight up. And there were plenty of fans that had Orange County's back when we sort of leaked the news of what was going on. There was a lot of LA Galaxy fans that reached out and showed their support. It's not the fans. It's just sort of that name just sort of hurts a little bit still to Orange County fans, which I'm sure you can understand. It sounds like you understand 100%. How that works.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're now venturing into more than just LA Galaxy, more than just MLS. You're talking about soccer now in America. I saw you posted a video earlier about how America is a soccer country, which I love seeing stuff like that. And I truly agree with you on that. That's something that we're seeing a lot from. Tell us a little bit, like, obviously Orange County isn't your first love. Galaxy was your first love here locally. But the ownership comes up, you jump on board. How exciting was that opportunity to say, hey, I'm a part owner of Orange County. I'm now going to be part of this club. And how did that get you going with all this?
Yeah, it's funny because I think about it in two ways. One, from just like a love of the game perspective, but also from a content perspective as well, which I've already showed in content. But just from a love in the game, you know, the coolest thing you could ever do is say you own a soccer club. I mean, that is one, the greatest thing. But two, you know, just the fact that, you know, it is a team local to me. Orange County SC is the closest USL club to me. But also, I just kind of always had good vibes about Orange County SC in general. And it started a few years ago with the first Social Distortion collab. I was a very punk rock kid in high school, and I went to a lot of shows in the Orange County area, like pretty much every weekend. And when I saw Social Distortion and Orange County SC were collabing, I like begged the club to send me stuff. They didn't send me stuff then. I bought it, and it was I have the original jersey. It's in my closet, but that's been like my all-time favorite collab. And then when the ownership came around again, and then another Social Distortion collab came around again, I'm like, this is the perfect situation. Like, this is, you know, this is for me. This is the right time. And, you know, I was already kind of sick of being, you know, this week in MLS, which is what I was going by. And I had already planned to do a rebrand, and this just kind of went along with the rebrand so perfectly for me. And, you know, as DK says in the chat, support local. That's the biggest thing for me. And that's a huge reason why, you know, I am expanding on what I talk about, because it wouldn't be fair for me to say I'm someone who's trying to, you know, use my platform to grow soccer in America without, you know, talking about all sorts of soccer in America, not just the, you know, one league, because there's way more to that picture.
Yeah, welcome aboard, Eli, and I'm glad to see that you are ended up watching Orange County, because both you and I have kind of untraditional paths to following this club, myself with Reno as well. But one question I do like to ask, especially those of fans, is, you know, what did make you fall in love with soccer? To say, hey, this is a sport I want to watch it week in, week out. To say, for you especially, this is something I want to devote towards building a following, towards building a whole YouTube channel off of. What leads you to each of these steps?
Yeah, so for me, in falling in love with the game, I didn't fall in love with it through playing it, which is a little bit different. I was later in the party. I was a baseball kid. But my grandpa is, he was a huge European football fan. And, you know, it all started when David Beckham came to the Galaxy. That's when I kind of first learned what, you know, soccer was. And I, you know, just going to matches, my first Galaxy match, you know, unlike a lot of people, and I don't know about you guys, but, you know, a lot of people, their first exposure is watching Barca, Madrid, you know, Man United and stuff. Like, my first soccer experience was through MLS. So it took me a while to get out of that kind of bubble of, you know, MLS is what soccer is, because I didn't even care about the Premier League or Bundesliga. I was just like, I only watch MLS because this is my team and it's my local team. And that's kind of when support local really became a thing for me all along. And now I'm happy to support multiple local clubs and all local clubs, but, or not all, because LAFC, but in terms of, you know, making this a career, from when I was a little kid, I really wanted to be a sports broadcaster among anything. And I went to a sports broadcasting camp, and I could kind of cover, I'm a huge basketball fan as well. I was a baseball guy, kind of had a dramatic breakup with that. But in terms of covering, I realized that at that camp, I was the only one talking about soccer there at all. And then online, there was no one talking about MLS, like on Instagram or anything, which is my biggest platform. So I just started making, first it was just like news posts on there. And then as the pandemic hit, I started making videos because I felt like, you know, I needed to do that to kind of be better on camera and everything. So that's kind of how I've gotten to where I am now. But, you know, it was always kind of like soccer was always like part of my thing, but then it became the thing for me. When I went into content, just because I didn't feel like there weren't enough people talking about it.
Awesome. Yeah. Can I just
say one thing really quick? I just want to let Eli know, like, your story is very similar to our podcast. First match I went to for Orange County, I went to it. I tried to look and find news. There's no news on Orange County Soccer Club. I used to write for a local sports blog for the LA Clippers, and I'm like, hey, I can do this. Let me cover some Orange County stuff. So I reached out to the club, my ticket salesperson, they got me in contact. They were like ecstatic that someone really wanted to put in the work. And then I go to a game. I find Dylan, who's like 18 at the time, say, hey, do you want to be on the show with me? And he's like, sure. That's how our podcast started. So very similar origin stories for what Eli does and for what we do. Now, unfortunately, Eli has been a lot more successful early on with it. We've slowly grown, but hey,
I would say I've been doing, you know, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I actually started when I was 14 years old. I'm 23 now. I've been around for a little while. But it has taken a lot for sure. But I do appreciate what you guys do, really, because when I started covering, you know, started getting into Orange County and, you know, wanted to be a part of this, you know, I was, you know, really preparing to become an owner of Orange County long before, you know, it was announced. This was like months in advance. I started talking to the creative team and stuff to try to like figure out like a video or something. And I watched your guys' show a lot and past interviews and a lot of highlights and stuff. So what you guys do is so important for the club, and it really is phenomenal. And, you know, all USL clubs should have someone like you guys. But no one will be as great, of course.
All right. So I guess my next question for you, Eli, I'm not obviously going to ask you to go relive the days of the Chris Cortez days like Ray would. However, you've been following this team for a couple seasons now. Is there any particular players that stand out as kind of a favorite of yours to watch so far?
Yeah. So my absolute favorite on the club is Thomas Among. He's someone that, you know, I just think he's electric to watch. And I'm also a nerd for a game called Football Manager. It's kind of like FIFA, but more nerdy. And I've signed Thomas Among on every team I've ever coached, and he's been killer for me. I don't want any MLS clubs to get the idea for that, because I don't want him to leave us. But I've really enjoyed him. And, you know, when I went to my first Orange County match the other week, you know, he was warming up right in front of me, and then he scores the match leveler and comes celebrates right in front of me. And that was like a cool full circle moment where I'm watching this guy, I'm using him in this video game, and then all of a sudden he's celebrating a tying goal right in front of me. Like, that kind of solidified him as like, that is my absolute guy. And, you know, I actually have a long relationship with Ethan Zubak, a good one. And I've taken photos with him throughout his years. Obviously love him because of the Galaxy. But, you know, I am very happy to see Thomas Among back like as a starter, because I think he really fits with certain guys that we've been playing. So he's my favorite. And then Colin Shuttler, I mean, my first match of the season, you know, seeing my first match, you know, as an owner, seeing him score that goal. And also just he is a level above every goalkeeper I've seen in USL. I think he's better than most MLS starting goalkeepers. So I'm, you know, I really, really love having a guy like Colin Shuttler in net.
All right, and I got one more question for you, and this one's a little bit more broad USL, because obviously, you know, you're coming into this league. What have you seen so far with this league? And I'm not just asking teams in general, because we could talk about Louisville and all those teams until the sun comes up again. But the growth of the league in this recent years, I mean, obviously we've seen it, Ray and I, for the past 5-10 years, and the league's really come on its own, but what do you think so far with how Orange County, the USL has been growing, and what's the next step, you think, for the USL to catch up with a league like the MLS?
I do think it's going to be hard in general for USL to catch up to MLS just because of markets. I think that's that's probably the biggest thing that would separate them. But one thing that I do think they've done is kind of on the opposite side of the market thing is, you know, we are tapping different markets that don't necessarily have clubs to represent them. I think that's the goal. It's been amazing. I think the TV deals that are coming with USL, and I think, you know, CBS Golazo Network, they have a big soft spot for the USL when you watch them. And I think, you know, getting their positive vibes on their show has been really great. So I think, you know, the more coverage, the better. One thing that I loved for USL, although it might have not help for exposure, but losing the MLS 2 squads, I think was great for the quality of the league. Because, you know, a lot of like the Los Doses and stuff, I know they won a championship, but they were also like at the end, near the bottom of the table and stuff like that. Just competitively, USL championship, I think, is higher quality now than it was with those clubs in it. Those are kind of my thoughts on the USL currently. And I just think, you know, it sucks the whole Open Cup situation, because I think, you know, the better USL clubs can compete against MLS clubs in the Open Cup. If we could have like a Sac Republic from a couple years ago and, you know, have them win it now, or, you know, us preferably, that is what's, you know, going to really turn some heads towards USL for sure.
Let me ask you this question really quick. Brad, you're muted.
I did want to cut you off because I did want to ask our good friend Dylan's question, because we haven't gotten the chance to ask it this episode, and you've seen our show a couple times now, so you know this question is.
Hold on, really quick. Just so you know, Eli, this question is typically for players and team staff, but we are going to ask it of you because you are part owner now. You get this.
Okay, let's see it.
All right. So what is your favorite vegetable and how do you prepare it?
Ooh, okay. So it's very funny because I actually used to hate this vegetable until I started making it. But I love Brussels sprouts.
How did I know that was going to be the answer when you started out with what you said? I knew you were saying Brussels sprouts. I wanted to call it out before you said it.
Yeah, because I used to absolutely despise Brussels sprouts. Like, you know, I just didn't like the way they're prepared. But for me, when I started cooking myself, especially in college, you know, I'd roast them with, you know, I have a curry powder, Lowry's seasoned salt, and then just drizzle it with olive oil, a lot of olive oil, usually maybe too much sometimes. And then I basically put them in the oven until they're like not burnt, but, you know, I like them very crispy. And they're so, so good when they're prepared like that. And I'm not being biased towards my cooking because I'm not a great chef. But like, I feel like I'm a great chef when I make those. So I would say Brussels sprouts are probably my favorite now. And that's like a huge 180 from when I was a little kid. They were the grossest thing.
Brussels sprouts, at least, especially when you get them close to burnt, that's the best way to do them. Regardless of the seasoning, a lot of olive oil, get them close to burnt and season them how you want. That's the way it goes. I learned a few years back that apparently Brussels sprouts, the growers like got together and decided, hey, the flavor isn't great anymore. So let's do what we can do to enhance the flavor in Brussels sprouts. And thus, that's why I think Brussels sprouts sort of resurged in the last 10 years or so. Go ahead. It sounded like you wanted to say something you like.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think with Brussels sprouts, for me, the smaller ones are usually the better ones. You know, if they're too big and they're not fully cooked through with the rest of them, you know, you taste that bitterness that you don't like. But that's all I had to add. Sorry.
No. I saw you wanted to say something. I wanted to make sure. Typically, we go about an hour for show, but I want to ask, do you mind just hanging out a few more minutes? Because we're having fun right now.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, because I was in Nashville this past weekend, and I was talking to a Nashville SC fan asking thoughts about, you know, MLS, USL, Open Cup, and it was pretty much MLS, Nashville SC, everything else, it doesn't really matter. Obviously, you seem more open to the thought. You were LA Galaxy fan. You're open to USL. You're open to soccer in general. Let me ask you, how would you explain your story to other MLS only people in this world that it's not the only thing, and there's actually good soccer in the lower divisions of US, not just USL. There's League One, there's NISA, there's all these other leagues that are putting out some quality product and making soccer great. How do you talk to these types of fans to try and convince them that it's not all about MLS?
Yeah, I mean, for me in general, and, you know, what got me to even like MLS in the first place was just going to a match. You know, I'm not necessarily the biggest tactician guy, or, you know, I don't understand that to the level of like real experts. But for me, I'm a vibes guy, and I love good vibes, and every soccer atmosphere has different vibes. Every soccer club has different things that, you know, represents them. And I find that very intriguing. And that's a huge reason why Orange County SC was like a no-brainer for me. When you have the punk rock roots of Orange County, great vibes, great people. I mean, you know, even before I even announced that I was becoming an owner, just I kind of started to talk to some Orange County people, and everyone just seemed so like happy to be there and happy to have me potentially. And it just felt like I belong there. So it's just reaching out, watching highlights is super fun. Watching matches is great. But for me, it's really just getting your butt into a seat. Because I think it's so easy to convert people into this space by just having them come out to matches. And I think that was a great thing with this ownership thing with Orange County in general for people is, you know, being a part of a club and, you know, hopefully getting to witness a match and saying you're an owner of the club is super, super unique. And I think, you know, it also helps that Orange County happens to be not just already the most massive club in the world, but also the best on the field in the league right now. So I kind of went off track there, but for me, it's just always about getting your butt into a seat and watching. It's always more fun in person than watching on TV. Watching on TV is great, but, you know, I love hearing the sound of the supporter sections and all of that. That's what really drew me into wanting to make soccer my life, less what's happening on the field and more happening around it.
let me just, we're going to ask a couple of the listener questions here and then we can wrap things up here. One listener we have here is from Kyle Barnhart. What's Eli's favorite shoe? I see he has some.
Yeah, he knows me well. I'm growing up, I always wanted to, have Jordans and all that stuff. And I'm a big Jordan 3 guy. That is my favorite shoe. Now that I've made a little money, not a lot, but I've made a little, I've been able to buy a couple pairs of shoes, and it's been really cool to, have things that I always wanted kind of growing up. But yeah.
Awesome. And then we have another question here from DK. How are OCSC/CLC vibes now that you've actually been to a match? I can't say the word game for this. I have to say match.
Yeah, CLC was great. For me, when I go visit stadiums for the first time or, go to make a video on it, I want to be either in the supporter section or with the supporter section, like in front of them. And I was able, I could have gone anywhere with my, my media pass for that match. But I was like, I have to be in front of CLC. That's the only way to go. And I did. And it was a great time. My favorite thing about CLC specifically was how we have chants for every single player. That's something that you don't see very often in America, at least from what I've witnessed. And I've been to quite a few, at least MLS stadiums, and there's never been so many chants for so many specific players. Maybe there's one if we're lucky. So that's what really got me excited. I've had the Seth Kasipley one stuck in my head since leaving there. And there's been a few, but that one really stuck with me. I love those. I forgot how it went, but I know there was one to Social D's Story of My Life, and I want to learn that one because that's like one of my favorite songs. But I love that. And there, I feel like there was a better variety in chants than a lot of places I visited, especially with a lot of new MLS clubs. A lot of them do the same four chants. Like the same different clubs doing the same four chants. I'd like to think the Galaxy do it very different than a lot of MLS, but a lot of the new I don't want to generalize locations, but it has been kind of the Midwest to South clubs do a lot of the same chants. And I had a very good time hearing chants that I, wasn't able to understand right away. Cause that's cool for me. It's cool to have the ones that immediately. But then it's also cool to be like, oh, I got to learn this one. It just, draws you in even more.
Can I just say, you probably have made producer Andy's night with that comment there, because I know he's a big supporter of, mixing things up and not having one or two chants the whole match. And I think a lot of the CLC is like that. Thus the reason why they have so many chants. So you've made CLC's night, but I know producer Andy's probably sitting back there with a big old smile hearing that from you, because that's a big thing from the CLC is mixing up the chants and not having the same thing over and over.
Yeah, and I'm bummed I didn't meet Andy at the match. I saw him doing the drumming and I couldn't get up to him. He was, he was high up to the gods and I couldn't get up to him. But hopefully next match, I'll be there on the 20th for sure. So hopefully I'll get to meet Andy and all you guys next time. I did get to meet DK and I got to meet Larry. Larry was awesome to hang out with. At a great time, because he was on the field next to me, we're bantering and stuff. So it was really a really welcoming first match for me at Orange County. And any match that I can go to, I will be at going forward. It's not going to be like, oh, I did this one YouTube vid. I probably won't make YouTube videos every time I'm there, which I shouldn't have to. But I want to go and enjoy. And maybe sometimes I'll be in CLC. Sometimes I'll just sit wherever, but I'm so excited to be able to come to more matches for sure.
And Larry's our Instagram guy, so obviously that's why y'all click so easily, is the Instagram connection there. Let's go to wrap things up, because we are getting late. We ran long because we had a lot of great guests here, including you, Eli, but I want to just let you get the opportunity to share with our listeners if they want to hear more from you, see more from you, follow you. Plug away, man. Plug away.
Yeah, so now I'm Eli Lesser TV on every single platform. Instagram is my preferred platform. X is my least favorite. I've kind of stopped interacting with people on there just because a lot of people get very mean, which is understandable. That's how people make themselves feel better. But I'm mainly on Instagram. I respond to every single message on Instagram to a fault. But I'm also on YouTube and Twitter and TikTok as well.
What's your most obscure platform you're on, Eli?
Let's see.
Are you on any of those obscure ones? I don't know.
I used to be. I forgot what the Spreaker was, like a podcast website, but like it was also a social media for a little bit. That's where I started. I was on Spreaker.com before I was on Instagram. And yeah, I'm not on like Snapchat or anything. At least for my follow, for like, you know, my content stuff. But no, I am not on OnlyFans or any of those places. I'm just, yeah, on the normal ones for now.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so excited that Eli chose some time to come with us, or volunteered some time to come join us. Love that kit, by the way. I wore that 4 times in Tennessee over a week without washing it, because I just wanted to show off Orange County's kit, that specific one too.
But yeah. Even if I wasn't an Orange County fan, I would say this is the best kit in the game right now. And the fact that, you know, we are Orange County, it's like makes it even better. Like I get to rock this, say it's my club, and it's the best kit in the game. Like, hell yeah.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Eli Lesser, Orange County Soccer Club owner, just like I am. I don't know if Brad jumped on that bandwagon or not, but there's a bunch of you that are part of that bandwagon. Follow him, watch him, see him at the match. Thank you, Eli, for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Brad, let's wrap this thing up with what we've learned in this episode. Brad, what did you learn tonight?
Oh boy. You know what? I'm going to just go off the rails here and talk about something that we didn't do on the show. I learned that my dog will lie on the couch behind me if I put the camera angle at such a way that she can be seen at all times.
So basically you're saying she wants to be seen on camera.
She's a good dog. Yes.
What I learned is Eli was got his start on Spreaker.com. I had no idea what Spreaker.com was, but apparently that's where he got his start. It's now an iHeartRadio thing. So apparently it was something successful because a bigger entity bought it up. So there we go. I want to thank everyone. I want to thank you all, the listeners, especially those watching and listening live that stayed through this extra 10, 15 minutes of the episode. We appreciate that. If you're listening to the recording and listening all the way through, we appreciate that as well. I want to thank all of our guests, from Harry from the SAFC Fancast, Ashish Chadha from Orange County Soccer Club, plays every position pretty much at this point. Also, Eli Lesser, soccer personality here in Southern California and growing day by day as a social media soccer personality. Appreciate him taking time to speak with us. Producer Andy, thank you. Brad, thank you. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, and we are out.